I'm Laura Vinroot-Poole. For over 20 years, I've owned Capital, an internationally recognized specialty store in Charlotte, North Carolina. On this podcast, we unlock the stories of people's lives through the stories of what they wore. These aren't conversations about fashion. These are conversations about people.
Everybody wants to know her name.
Pam Stowe is one of my most creative friends and has been a champion of Capital from the very beginning. Pam is known for showing up to a dinner party in character. She even showed up at her own 60th birthday in full Vegas regalia, feathers and all. She's always had a flair for the dramatic, and Lumberton, North Carolina may never forget her debut as their homecoming queen. I absolutely live for her stories, and I think you will too. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here. Tell the audience where you were raised, and I'd love to know, how did it influence the way that you dress?
I grew up in Lumberton, North Carolina, which is a little tobacco town about an hour from the coast, and it's the poorest county in North Carolina. It still
Robeson County.
Robeson County. So that was always in the background, but I had a mother who loved clothes, and I know this is not all about clothes, but I've always loved clothes because of my mother and my grandmother. So that was always important to me. We didn't have a lot of places to shop, so we did a lot of improvising. Huh. And mother sewed, and we did go to Raleigh some and go to Fayetteville some and, you know, go around. And there were all kinds of little outlets out in the country. We would go find Papagallis shoes and Have Price and stuff. I don't know that my town influenced how I dressed so much, but it was growing up in a very poor area.
Yeah. Is your mother from Lumberton and your grandmother
no,
too?
No, my mother grew up in Carthage, North Carolina, which is more in the middle of the state. It's near Pinehurst. And my mother grew up with a dad who loved clothes.
Right.
And loved to dress his wife, my grandmother, Catherine, and he had three daughters. He was fairly successful. He would put them in the car two or three times a year, maybe four, and drive them to Montaldo's in Raleigh, was
the place.
And light a cigar, hand them all a piece of T-berry chewing gum, because he thought that would keep them from getting car sick. And drive to Raleigh and sit back on a sofa. I can just see him. He was rather elegant and would sit back with his cigar in Montaldo's, and they would parade by in outfits.
And he would say yes,
no. Yes or no.
Yeah. You know, my mother, too, with my grandfather was the same way. My grandfather chose all of her clothes. And my grandmother's.
And grandmother would come downstairs when I would stay with her, and I adored her and stayed with her a lot in Carthage. And she would come downstairs maybe in a dress or maybe holding two dresses, but always with two or three pocketbooks and two or three pairs of shoes, and say, "Mosley, which one?" And he was so decisive. He would immediately say, "Well, that bag and those shoes."
I love it.
And she always wore what he suggested. And my daddy was not like that. He could care less. We could have worn paper bags, but that greatly influenced me, of course.
And tell me about your style as a little person. What do you remember wearing?
I was the first of three daughters. And my mother was prissy, and I've always been kind of prissy. And mother always had makeup on and her hair fixed and had a tiny little waist that she was real proud of. And so always had clothes that were very fitted in the waist and had big skirts. And she loved red shoes, and she wore... I just remember her red pumps and her little pointy red loafers with those capris in the Jackie O era. I mean, it was wonderful.
Gorgeous.
But my first memory was when I was, I mean, I have other memories. I remember pretty much everything I ever wore to everything.
I do too.
I really do. But my first thing I really loved was I was sophomore sponsor for homecoming when I was a sophomore in high school. I went to my little local high school and loved it. It was the Dr. Zhivago era.
Oh, God, Laura.
And there was one nice store in Lumberton, the Fashion Bar.
The Fashion Bar.
Uh-huh.
And downtown.
In downtown Lumberton. And it was the nicest store in Lumberton for clothes. Well, probably for anything. And Mother and I went there to get my outfit to be sophomore sponsor. And it was that pale blue color dress with a faux fur, but that Persian lamb collar stand up, and
gray Persian lamb
stand up collar with the split, and then the deep gray frogs down the front, and then the cuffs were also in the Persian lamb.
Oh, Lord.
And I just thought it was
it sounds fabulous.
So fabulous, and I got to sit on the back of a convertible riding that thing and rode through downtown Lumberton in that. It was heaven.
Oh, I love that. And speaking of, tell me about, you brought in your homecoming dress. Tell me about it. And where did you get it? And tell me how it came about.
Well, I guess because of the luck of being born in Lumberton, I got to be in a couple of homecomings. Probably wouldn't have anywhere else. But anyway, the football team elected the homecoming queen, and I had the cutest boyfriend. I won't say his name. But anyway, darling boyfriend, and he was captain of the football team. So they voted for me and announced it over the loudspeaker. I'll never forget that. At the end of school one day.
And did you die?
I just died. I mean, it's a dream. And so I went home and told Mother, and she was so excited.
Aww.
And so a couple of days later, this is a big deal because I never missed school. I mean, you almost had to go to the hospital to miss school. She let me take the whole day off, and we went to a little dress shop in St. Paul's, North Carolina.
What county is that?
Ida's Dress Shop.
Oh.
And she had beautiful evening wear.
Huh.
Who in the world would have thought? And I actually Googled it yesterday to see if I could find out. I'm sure it's been gone for years,
right.
And Ida's been gone forever. And I couldn't find out anything about it.
And how far away was St. Paul's from Lumberton?
Like 20 miles.
Okay.
From Lumberton. It's just a tiny little town. Anyway, Mother let me take the day off from school. And
your father was the superintendent of schools.
He was the superintendent of the county schools. Like,
okay.
I went to city schools.
Okay.
So he was not actually my superintendent.
Okay.
But he was proud too. And we took the day off and went to Ida's. And homecoming queens, being virginal, always wore white dresses.
And
always. I mean, you're at a football game and you're in an evening gown.
And it's a gown. It's not it's not short.
It's
a full gown.
It had to be almost like a Deb dress.
Okay.
And you got up on a stage and they crowned you. It was a huge to-do. And everybody else is in weird football game clothes that we used to dress up for football games.
Right. But the boy, so your date would have just a regular sport coat on.
No, the coach would not let him escort me because he was the captain of the football team.
Oh, Pam, I love it.
And they wouldn't let him come out of come off the sidelines at halftime, because they did it at halftime.
Yeah.
To be my escort, so I had to just pick a friend to be my escort, and I didn't like that a bit, but anyway.
But so you were supposed to have a white gown.
To have a white gown, so we went to Ida's and looked at all the white gowns, and then we saw this one. I'm sitting here in front of my homecoming dress, people out there, and
describe it. I mean, it's so beautiful.
Is it raw silk, Laura?
Yeah.
It's got a little nub to it.
Yeah.
It's pale blue and has really beautiful, simple gray, sort of pearl gray embroidery around the neckline, scoop neckline, and you know, little sort of bathing suits type straps and dripping little
Lily of the Valley. Mugay.
I still think it is absolutely beautiful.
It's on pier, and it was so beautiful, Pam.
And I weighed about, 95 pounds then.
Probably less.
And Mother and I spotted that dress. And
so was it scandalous?
So it was rather scandalous. Was it? To not wear white.
When you walked out, could you hear the crowd go, oh,
kind of. But Mother said, well, just try it on. So I did. I tried it on, and it fit perfectly. And, of course, I just would have fixed it if it hadn't. But it fit perfectly, and Mother said, well, that's the dress.
Oh.
And I knew it was the dress. You know, when you got on the dress, you know.
What time of year is it? Was it hot?
Oh, heck yeah.
Still 100 degrees.
Okay.
I was going to say, did you do, like, a little tippet or something?
No. I was melting, I'm sure. And I wore it in the parade. For the halftime crowning. And like I said, I'm sure my mother yanked it off me as soon as I got home because I don't think it has a spot on it.
No, it does not have one spot on it. You could wear it right now.
But absolutely. I still love it. And yes, it was a little bit scandalous to not wear white, but it was so pretty that I don't think anybody was scandalized.
Well, and I wonder if your younger sisters could tell us if the next year if people wore white again or if it just caused a whole trend.
They did.
Totally went white.
Like
that
white.
Crazy Pam Allen.
That hussy Pam. Or a collar.
I love the story about you going to your grandparents' house and that having lunch with them and that your grandfather would come home.
My grandparents were just old fashioned, adored each other. He was an attorney in Carthage, North Carolina, and grandmother was a housewife. And she was the most delightful person I think I've ever known in my life. She had this big, fun personality. Everybody loved her. He called her Miss Catherine. And he was a quiet, sort of serious man. Mm-hmm. And so she just, he revolved around her like revolving around the sun. Mm-hmm. But she and her helper, Mary, would cook these fabulous lunches. Huge, beautiful,
like
smothered chicken with rice and gravy and green beans and gorgeous deep red sliced tomatoes.
Did they have a garden?
And no, her sister, who lived in the country outside of Carthage, did, and drove up with stuff for her every day.
Uh-huh.
And she made she had a biscuit room off her kitchen. And made biscuits for every meal, tiny
angel biscuits.
Yeah, well, they were butter. You know, she used buttermilk and flour, never measured anything. It was all with her hands.
Yeah.
She would not let Mary do anything but take stuff in and out of, she wouldn't let her season anything. She's very particular. And if the biscuits got, Laura is wearing a beautiful khaki, deep khaki dress. And she would have never allowed biscuits to be that color. They were pale.
They're pale.
They had to be pale.
Uh-huh.
And
served with butter?
With butter.
Uh-huh.
And she always had a gravy boat with gravy in it. And it was just divine.
And was dinner, they called it, was that bigger than supper?
Oh, I mean,
was that
yes.
I love you telling the story about them afterwards going to take a nap after.
Oh, and grandmother and granddaddy, who adored each other every day of their lives. It was wonderful. To be around that, you know, it's just, and my parents were the same way. I'm so fortunate. They would go upstairs and take a nap after lunch, eat this gigantic lunch, and grandmother always had at least one beautiful cake and one beautiful pie on the sideboard.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, just heaven. German chocolate cake, just beautiful food.
And did the children have to take a nap after dinner also?
No, we just had to be quiet.
Uh-huh.
But granddaddy and grandmother laid down for a little bit, and then he would go back to the office, but he was in the door at 5:05 in the evening, and they would have pickups, they called it.
What does that mean?
Well, that just means that after lunch, grandmother would take everything off the table, except she would get rid of the, throw out the biscuits.
Uh-huh. Because she started
they had to be fresh.
Right, sure.
And put everything on the sideboard and cover it. And I'm talking, I'm not talking refrigeration.
Yeah.
She put the chicken, the green beans, the whatever, uh-huh, on the sideboard and covered it with a tea towel.
Uh-huh.
And it sat there all afternoon. And they would just, whenever Granddad pick it, you would just pick up a little bit of it for supper. And they'd ate lightly for supper. I mean, it was just like a little spoonful of this and a spoonful of that.
Was she dressed the whole time? I mean, she was in
Grandmother wore a dress and had her hair done and lipstick and rouge, as she called it, every moment of her life. And wore Madame Rochas cologne. And I still...
And where would she get that, Pam?
I guess Mentaldo's.
Okay.
Wouldn't you think so?
Yeah.
Surely not in Carthage.
No. Would people go to New York then?
They did not.
Yeah.
I'm sure people did.
Yeah.
But they were more...
Yeah.
You know, they just sort of did their little stuff. And church was real important to them. Mm-hmm. I've always thought it was funny. My grandmother, who had a very strong personality, delightful, but strong, grew up Presbyterian, and Granddaddy grew up Southern Baptist, and Grandmother thought that was appalling, and would at that time, you would have thought women would go to church with their husbands.
Well, you know, that's my family also saying.
I like
my
that. Mother,
yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, Granddaddy would drop Grandmother in front of the Presbyterian church, and she would go in and go to church or Sunday school and church or whatever. And he would, pick her up afterwards.
But he would go to the Baptist church?
He would go to the Baptist. And she was like president of the Presbyterian women.
Really?
And he was chairman of the board of deacons.
That is so funny.
And they never went to each other's churches. Well, ever.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, my dad always says he calls himself he's a Baptist missionary inside the Presbyterian church.
But so, I didn't think it was radical at the time.
Yeah.
But looking back on it.
Very.
It was rather surprising.
Yeah.
Amazing. And we just got to pick who we wanted. If we were staying there with them, which I really did a lot, you just picked who you wanted to go to church with.
That is so,
you had to go.
And you always chose your grandma.
No, I went with Granddaddy a little bit because it was a little livelier. But
and what did people wear? Did people wear hats?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Grandmother had hats and gloves.
Oh, yeah.
And bags and the whole deal. And when my mother sent me to stay with her mother, the packing was careful. Because I was going to be going to something with grandmother.
Sure.
And
And
they dressed up all the time. But it was very small town. It wasn't grand.
Well, but, I mean, all the more reason that everybody noticed what you were wearing and doing, so you needed to be more careful. Somebody described you recently as a Southern Auntie Mame. Are there characters that you admire?
Oh, that's so funny.
That you love the way they dress, or characters in film? Or
Well, I don't ever like to look exactly like anybody else. I like to throw a little...
Trust me, you don't.
I love to throw in a twist. And like today, I have a wonderful Capitol dress that I've worn 400 times. It's my favorite dress. And earrings that I love. And $5 shoes from Walmart in Tarboro, where my mother lives. I don't know. I mean, I like to be a little dramatic.
Have you always been dramatic?
Uh-huh.
Even as a little person?
Uh-huh.
And you always loved it. And your sister's not as much.
Neither one of my sisters cares anything about. Well, they both are darling.
Well, they're lovely, yeah.
And
they're not into it.
You know, cute clothes, simple, very simple. You know, they're not interested they would not wear what I wear.
But for you, I mean, it's really getting into character every day.
It's just...
tell about your closet.
Oh, gosh. I have a costume closet, and I love costumes. I've loved them my whole life. I've played dress up my whole life, and I'd love nothing better than to put a costume on, whether it's a showgirl, and to black out a tooth, and I have a zillion wigs, and I'm constantly getting new
wigs.
You
have a wig closet.
I probably have at least 50 wigs. And I get new ones often. And I have just discovered a woman on Instagram that makes gorgeous wigs. And I've just bought one. And I want to display it. I'm looking for a really beautiful wig head. Huh. And I want to put it under a glass cloche.
Oh, how pretty.
In my house. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yes. What's beautiful to you?
I really love dramatic clothing.
Yeah.
I mean, that is...
You're a fabric person too, though. I mean, yeah. You're very tactile.
I love fabrics. And
I think you love fabrics with body. You like something like you have now, the shoulders lift up. And
I like detail. I like a lot.
Can you sew?
A lot going on. No, my mother sewed beautifully.
Yeah, my mom did too.
And we would buy something and change it in some way to make it different. So mother encouraged I think I was really a braver dresser than she was from early on. And I remember going to high school when I was the first of the bell-bottom blue jeans era.
Yeah.
We bought blue jeans and they were already bell-bottom, but mother shaped them because I was tiny.
Yeah.
So mother shaped the legs to make them even more bell-bottom.
Oh, I love it.
And then I think I wore what we call a poor boy, which was a ribbed turtleneck.
Right. Yep.
I can see it right
what
now.
What color?
Ivory. And then mother bought...
And were the bell-bottoms denim or were they...
Denim.
Uh-huh.
And red boots.
Oh, I love it.
And a gray, again, that Persian lamb, fake Persian lamb mother made, a long vest.
Oh!
That didn't button. It was just open. And... I thought I was the coolest thing in the world.
Well, you were.
Walking into high school in that. I mean, I've always liked that. And people would say things, and I loved it. That was an expression of me.
Would you put your clothes out the night before, and would you think about it? I walked in on Fifi, my 13-year-old, last night. I was dead asleep, and I noticed her light was on, and I went in, and it was like a hurricane had gone through her room, and she was trying on clothes for today. And I remember that so well. I did that into the middle of the night.
Yeah. I usually am a pretty quick picker, and I'll throw something on top of something and think, that was fine. And it can be crazy.
Yeah.
And that usually works.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, I really thought about it. I mean, I wanted to be the coolest dressed girl.
You were. What's unattractive to you?
Oh, my gosh. Just go to the airport. I mean, people dress atrociously.
It's dreadful.
That is the best answer I can give. I find it so
unappealing. When we were growing up, that was really, when you got on a plane, you wore Sunday school clothes. You wore church clothes.
Well, I still
wear. Oh, I do too.
I travel in a dress. And
yes.
My husband, Harding, is always nicely dressed.
Always.
He's not very adventuresomely dressed like Perry Poole or Scott Newkirk or some of these other people that we love how they dress. But Harding always wears a jacket.
Yeah, Daddy always wears a sport coat.
Not always a tie, but not this. But
always. Always a sport coat, yeah.
Always a sport coat.
I remember when I went to boarding school, and one of the times I came home for Thanksgiving or something, and he was taking me to get back on the plane, and I had ripped jeans on, and he said, nope, march back upstairs and put on the right clothes. You're not going out like that on an airplane.
I wouldn't even think about
it. I know. What's the bravest thing you've ever done fashion-wise?
Oh, gosh.
I think I've seen a lot of them.
I don't really think of myself as a brave dresser. It's just how I dress. I mean, I thought it was a little bit brave to wear a crown to the Andre Leon Talley dinner.
No.
But it was mostly fun. Maybe, that outfit with the big bell bottoms and the...
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've always dressed sort of bravely.
Where do you get the confidence to do that? Where does that come from?
I'm not confident in every area of my life. Of course, nobody is. But I have remarkably a huge amount of confidence when it comes to dressing.
oftentimes wearing things that are beautiful make people nervous because they're going to be noticed. And I think if you're not ready to be noticed, or you're not confident about what you have to say, I think it's sometimes hard to wear really beautiful clothes.
Maybe so.
Last question.
Okay.
What did you wear to prom?
I could tell you what I wore really and truly every single year.
What's your favorite one?
My homecoming dress.
Yes.
I wore my senior year, but people changed out of, this is not exactly prom. Prom was something different. I changed out of that dress, out of that evening dress, mm-hmm. after the ceremony. And there was yet another store in St. Paul's. They had Ida's, and they had Joe Sugar's.
Dang, Ida's had competition.
And Joe didn't have evening wear.
Okay.
But he had a real small ladies department, and I just remember going with Dad. My daddy bought his best clothes from Joe Sugar. That's just what you did. Mother and I went in there, maybe with Daddy. And they had, this is something I wish I still had, that I don't. Sort of had a terracotta background with a floral. I've always loved florals, and especially small florals. Mm-hmm. It was a midi dress.
Huh.
And that was not the norm.
Right.
But it was so pretty. It was such a pretty dress.
Had what year?
Beautiful,
what year is this?
This is 1972.
72.
And it had a stand-up collar and a really pretty green suede belt. And it was midi. And I wore off-white boots under it.
Whoa.
And
I
went to the homecoming dance with my darling boyfriend.
And what was your hair like? Was your hair
long?
Long and down.
I mean, we all had long
down.
And
ironed.
Straight, yes. As straight as you could get it. I just remember we just danced all night and just, it was like the most perfect night any small town high school girl could ever have in her life.
I love that.
And it was wonderful.
Thank you, Pam. I loved having you.
Love talking to you, Laura.
What We Wore is produced by Capital and Balto Creative Media. The original song, Someone So Enchanting, was composed and performed by Britt Drozda. What We Wore is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.